How many of you know Terry Lawton? How many believe that Terry Lawton is a fairly energetic, outgoing individual? How many would believe that she's actually the quietest in her family? It's actually true, because I've met her brother and her sister. And she really is. And last week, I don't know if it was with Kate or with Sean or somebody, she was trying to convince them, and she looked at me. It's true, isn't it, Pastor? I said, yeah, it is. So, but when I had a chance to meet Michael, you were with us at least 15 years ago, 18 years ago, I think. It goes way back. He was with us, and at that time, he was with the Church of God. God has switched him over now to the Assemblies of God. And so he's one of the missionaries our own denomination supports. And I've had a chance to correspond with him by email, and I'm so thrilled that we're able to have him with us today. He's anointed by God, is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to step into an area of ministry where all of the gifts God has given him will have to be at work through the power of the Spirit to see God do this. He's not going to a place where all the doors are already open. He's going where the doors are not yet open to be used the Lord to open them. And anyone that goes on the front lines, as you know here in Schoharie County, you take dings and hits with that. But it's absolutely essential to have those frontline people. And so it's my great honor and joy to introduce to you Michael Mills. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Amen. I think I got this thing going. Yeah, that's good. You can hear. Praise God. They've been telling me that this is Terry's brother, and I want to correct that. Terry is Michael's sister. And so what an honor to be with family. Pastor, thank you so much. You have a great pastor. Oh, that was weak. I'm going to give you another run at it, okay? You have a great pastor. There it is. I tell you what, and I just wrote and said, hey, if I'm coming to New York, is there... Pastor opened up all of his friendships all over the state of New York and gave me contacts of people to contact. I've been with many of those people, those pastors already. They let me speak at their churches. And that's a huge thing when you're coming new into an area. And Pastor, thank you so much for doing that. And a doctor. Whoa. I love it. You know, when I said that in Ecuador, that I'm a doctor, they would always say, I hurt right here. I said, I'm not that kind of doctor. I said, I'm a doctor of the soul, not the ones that, yeah. So it's good to be here, and it's good to be in New York. I'd like to thank my family for coming as well from all over. Syracuse that came in from this morning, and Norwich, and all over. It's great to be here and be with family. 17 years as missionary to Ecuador. 17 years. 31 years in the Church of God. 31 years in a denomination, 17 of those years as a missionary, and I was doing okay in Ecuador. You know, somebody said, well, how'd you get to where you are now? I said, I just hit sand, and here I am. No, wait a minute. I said, here I am, and he hit send. We're driven people. I love a church that tries out buildings before they get to their own. It seems like a little bit ago I was in another building, and here I'm pulling up to the Catholic Church, feel real at home right now because 96% Catholic in Ecuador. You guys, I love you guys. You're transitional. You just flow. I think that's what churches need. I think the body of Christ needs to be just like this. Amen. Ready to go anywhere, anytime for the King of Kings. That's who I am. 31 years. What? 52 years old. What in the world am I doing? I tell folks, the Holy Spirit that I know really messes me up. Yeah, I know you guys. You guys are in the same boat. But there's a lot of churches that the Holy Spirit doesn't mess them up at all. They just kind of get their fix every Sunday, get a little goosebumps here and there, go home, nothing different. But the Holy Spirit I know just totally turns me around all the time. Says, give it up, go, leave the United States and go to Ecuador and you don't even speak Spanish. I'll give you a clue. They speak Spanish in Ecuador. All I knew was yo quiero Taco Bell. I hate that chihuahua. No offense, Mom. My mom's had like, I think, 50 chihuahuas at one time. I didn't know, you know, what in the world are you going to a country you don't even know the language? I'll tell you, it's his driving love. I love that song. Extravagant love. He pours his love out on you in an extravagant way, and his overwhelming love captures my heart, and I'm driven by it. The Spirit of God just fills you and directs your steps. And I left New York when I was 17 years old. 17 years, I mean, 52, you do the math. Some of you said, I can't do that kind of math. It's a long time. 17 years old, not knowing Christ, in my own sins. Went from New York to New Mexico in the Air Force. And somebody came and spoke the word of God to me. And for the first time in my life, I just saw Christ for who he was and who he is. And I was overwhelmed by his love. He reached deep into the muck and mire, pulled me out, washed me with his blood, set me on a solid rock, gave me a hope and a future. And I've been overwhelmed by his love ever since. 32 years. April 13th, just a couple days ago, is my spiritual birthday. 32 years old in the Lord. That always used to amaze me when I was a young Christian. Wow, you've been with the Lord 5 years? How'd you do that? You know, I even interviewed people that fell away from the Lord. What gives? Well, I stopped reading the Word and I stopped praying. And it just got colder and colder and colder and fell away from the things of God. And I determined I don't want to fall away from the one who sent me his son to rescue me. I don't want to fall away. And I determined I wanted to read his word and obey his word. Wouldn't that be a novel thing? You know, we're wrestling sometimes. Again, not this church. This is being recorded, and you've got to give this to people that should really be hearing that this morning. There's a lot of folks that have stopped reading. Don't read the Word of God anymore. They don't even know where their Bibles are. They don't open the Bible. I'm telling you, folks, this is a lifeline to the King of Kings. This is a way that you constantly know where you are, where your heart is, where your family is, what he's wanting you to do in the world is a constant link to the King of Kings. I've endeavored for these 32 years to constantly read his word, and I've read the Bible for at least all the way through Genesis to Revelation 32 times, because my goal was 1 year per time in Christ, per year in Christ. So 32 times reading his word, praying, seeking his face. I had many trouble sometimes praying. You know, you're tired, you're working. You guys understand what that's all about, right? Working hard. You've come to next Saturday, and you're moving bales of hay all around. You worked hard, and you go to pray at the end of the night, and you kneel down, and you're praying with all earnest. You fall. You know what I did? What I do so I don't fall asleep when I'm praying? I prayer walk and pray. I've not fallen asleep once. Well, I did fall asleep one time. It wasn't a pretty sight. But I never did it again. Because if you can fall asleep while you're prayer walking, you're in trouble quick. I'm driven by his love. The great, great commandment in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love the Lord your God with everything that's inside of you. That could take us the rest of our existence to complete that one verse. But that would be the whole, it would encompass all of who you are and all of who your ministry could be in this world if you could just love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. If you could complete that, this world would be different. you could complete that, this church would just, you know the love that goes around here right now, correct? Hello? Oh, I better warn you. Amens help me preach faster. Yeah, okay, let's get it going again now. You can feel the love that's already in this congregation, can't you? Yeah. Okay, there you are. You scared me for a minute. If everybody was so keen on loving God with all their hearts, what would happen? Now I don't know if she wants me to get done quicker. Or what would happen if we were captivated by his heart, by his love, and driven by his love? That great commandment, it says, to love in that way. And then it says, well, one more thing. And why did they start talking about this? Because the Pharisees, they were trying to trick Jesus. And they said, of the commandments, and, you know, we think, okay, 10 commandments. God wrote 10 commandments. Keep things simple. I'm a New Yorker, and I love being a New Yorker. Keep things simple, 10 commandments. What did we do with it? We made like 613 commandments out of those 10. We're famous for making things complicated. Things that God made simple, we complicate it so that we can't even complete it our own selves. How can I love this world? It's too big, too complicated. Just rest for Pete's sakes. Calm down. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It wasn't 613 laws and commandments. They were trying to trip up Christ, saying, out of all this, what's the most important one? Can God, being so strong, build a rock and make a rock that he can't even lift? Oh, shut up. Christ said, you want to know what's most important? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Because when Christ speaks, what he says is all-encompassing. He just wraps it all up in one little word. And they said, oh, by the way, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh! Why did you add that on there? I don't even know my neighbor. Point. Duh. I mean, I'm working on that love my God, but my neighbor... God, you don't even know my neighbor. You don't know what it's like to live next to them. And they're over there in their house. God, you don't even know my neighbor. The overwhelming love of God has to drive us to do more than we're doing now. The overwhelming love of God would cause us to get up and go meet our neighbors. Care about them. Not only our neighbors right here, right now, but our neighbors like you all are doing. I saw the list of the missionaries that you pray. Blessed be his name for all the missionaries that you're supporting. That's God. I know I'm in the right place this morning speaking to a bunch of people, a group of brothers and sisters that love God so much that they're giving finances around the world. And bless the Lord for you all. This is the reason why your church is blessed. This is the reason, and I haven't got to see the fullness. I'm hoping maybe this week I'm going to get to see. I saw the outside of your new building, and I get jazzed by stuff like that. I love that. But the love of God ought to drive us right into the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach his gospel, preach his word. Making disciples. I used to preach that hard and heavy, that scripture in Matthew 28. Go! God's a God of go! The first two letters of his word, his name is go! The first three letters of Satan is sat! If you're satin or going, depends who you're listening to. I mean, I was all over preaching that. And I thought, go, you go, God, go, get up and... Thank you, one person is catching this. Amen. And I thought go is a command until I found out that go is not the command in that verse. Go, in the original language, was in your going. It was the normal thing that you did in your going. It wasn't something spectacular. It was as you're going around your neighborhood, or as you're working, or as you're eating, or as you're going to Walmart, in your going. The command was, make disciples. Oh, please don't listen to the rest of this. The very thing we're not doing is the command in the Word of God. Make disciples. I mean, again, not this church, because this church is perfect. Most churches, if you say from this day, April 18th, 1 year in the past, how many disciples have you made? And then there's also some kind of conviction that moves in. People stop looking at you. The very thing we're commanded to do, make disciples, we're not doing. And I have a sense that the Holy Spirit's moving in a mighty way in the churches today and raising up an army of people that will say, we will listen to your word. We're driven by your love. That we'll listen to your word here in this area and around the world to make disciples around the world. I love being with you folks. I love being with a church that's excited, that's live. There's life here. This is a church that is alive. I appreciate those two measly amens, but I really believe the rest of you think that way as well. It's a tough church, Pastor. I now know how to pray for you. This morning, I'd like to take a moment and under the anointing, David's going to help me kind of share some just ideas of what happened in these last 17 years. I'm driven. Wait, oh yeah. That picture's not for you at all. That's for me. Because I'm here for 17 days in New York, and I just want to watch and look how my wife looks. And that's how you really hug somebody good. And now this August, we'll be married 30 years. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Denise is an incredible woman. Without her, I tell people, I'm here right now because she's in classes in Seattle. We're in Seattle right now. She's taking classes and she sends her greetings. But I tell people, I have to come ahead of time without Denise because if she was here, I'd be chopped liver again. She's like the better part of this whole thing. You'd all gravitate to her and I'd be out standing out walking around in the bushes over there. So I got to get my licks in now before she gets here. Denise has just been at my side the whole time, an amazing woman. Ecuador, 17 years, all over, starting churches, planting churches in Ecuador. The first church we planted was this one right here. Next slide. Are these called slides? Oh, that's what our view was in Ecuador all the time. You see that dark spot on top of that mountain, the snow-capped? Can you see it from way over there? That's called a hot spot. And I found out it's not like the internet hot spots. That's like the real hot spot. That's where it all came from. They always told me that if this mountain went off, lava would fill the valley where we were living. And I told people, if you ever heard that Cotopaxi blew off, just say, boy, the Mills family had a really neat ministry. So we were under threat for 17 years that lava was going to fill our valley. And you know what? When God tells you to go someplace, you don't sweat the details. The safest place to be is in the hand of the living God, no matter what he says to do, where he tells you to go. So then he asked, start a new church. And we planted Advance. I love it. David and I, he's anointed. And thank you for the ministry that you do here. There's a lot of times I know with my kids in working in as PKs and MKs, they were so helpful in the building of the church. And thank you for all that you do. God has a plan and a call for your life. That's incredible. That's amazing. You know, the leadership there in Ecuador said, hey, you like to teach. Would you like to teach a little Bible study? And I said, okay, yeah. I mean, the Holy Spirit's real crafty how he gets you hooked in things. I said, sure. Taught a little Bible study, got some folks together. We got started growing, got out of hand, and the leadership came to me and said, hey, you know, we'd like to declare this as an official church. I said, go for it. And they said, well, we'd like you to pastor. And I said, no, I don't know about that. My calling is not pastoral. My calling is seeing new things started. And so they said, oh, but we really think you should pastor. And I said, oh, God, I'll pray about it. That's mean to do to people. Pray about it. Just pray about it. And the Holy Spirit slaps you upside the head, says, yeah, you're going to be the pastor of this thing. And so we had nothing, just a group of us. But I tell people I don't lack vision. I lack property. Give me property. And we'll, like what, 155 acres? What, couldn't you find anything bigger? I love it. How many acres? No, not five. No, not 10. No, 155 acres. Yeah, I think you can get started with something there. But don't fall into the trap of having all the resources and doing nothing with it, right? God's got a plan over there. Huh. Oh, Lord. Oh, David, don't get too much anointing. Just come back. Come back. So we had this group of people. We declared this church, and I started praying for properties, and the Lord helped me build this 500-seat sanctuary church out of nothing. There was nothing there beforehand. And we built it. Now, okay, anointing. Some of the kids in the church, we don't lack children in Ecuador. There's a lot of ministry you can do with kids around Latin America. And then the built the church of 350 people. The building was just, God is doing some amazing things. And 9 years as the pastor of this church, and I almost thought God was calling me to be a pastor. Until 9 years later, an overwhelming urge came upon my heart to kill all the people. I guess that's kind of dangerous to say, you know, maybe it's just a pastoral thing. But I was so frustrated that the people they didn't want to do anything. They were just kind of come and critique the show and then go home and get on the phone talking to folks. Did you see that? Can you believe the pastor wore that to church? And they wouldn't bring anybody to church, you know, 350 people there. Oh, man, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. I thought 350 people, that's an army. What? I just kind of thought they all should be filled and anointed and every one of them going out to do a mighty work for God and with their talents and their ministries. And I saw it a lot differently than they did. Am I seeing it differently here this morning? Or every one of you called by the living God to do great things for him in Cobble skill and all this valley. Boy, Pastor, the amen's got a little smaller. It's kind of like a muffled amen I think I heard over here. Amen. Kind of like, if I don't say too loud, God won't notice. I got frustrated with the folks, and I said, God, how can I kill them all and get away with that? He said, I wanted to do it with Moses' group. Oy vey. And I just determined that I'm probably not called to be a pastor, but, oh, give me new work, and I just love that. Pastoring this work, I think it's on the next slide, David. Pastoring this work, I just want to constantly find things to minister, and I asked my disciples, all my leaders, I said, go around the valley and find the very poorest school, and let's see what we can do to change that school. So they found this school, and I went, and I talked to the director of the school. I said, ma'am, I'm a local pastor here, and we see that you have 100 kids here, elementary kids, and it's really, nobody's helping you, not even the city. We'd like to adopt your school and help out. And she said, we're Catholics. She said, I said, ma'am, I know the difference between my pulpit and your school. She said, the kids are Catholics, their parents are Catholics, or we don't want to hear any of your propaganda. I said, I understand that. We just want to help out. She said, as long as we understand that. So I said, yes, ma'am. Looked around. It was raining. I looked around on the campus, and I looked into one of the outbuildings, and the the kids were in there, and the rain came right through the roof onto their desk while they were trying to write their notes. What do you suppose the Holy Spirit asked me to do? Have you already heard this? Duh! It doesn't take rocket science to figure out what God wants you to do in your life. We make it so complicated. Take a simple command, love, and be pushed out by his love, and we complicate it. Put a roof on. We put a roof on. I came back, the director of the school said, whatever you want to teach us, feel free. So I thought, you know, I looked around once, I'm going to look around again. Looked around the campus, and I saw all 100 children lined up to this door. I'm a New Yorker. That was curious to me. I'll bite. I walked to the front of the kids. I looked in, and it was the boys' bathroom. They were lined up. I mean, all of them were lined up to the boys' bathroom. I looked, smelt first. Whoa. You ever been in a boys' bathroom? I mean, little boys, even big boys, can't even hit the pot. It's a nasty place to be. Why not? I looked in there, and they were cooking lunch for the kids in the boys' bathroom. I'm with you. It should have been like the girls' bathroom, at least. And so I took a picture. This is Pamela. They would go in with their bowl, get their soup from the boys' bathroom, go out to the lawn, eat the soup, and then they would wash it under a drippy faucet and give it to the next kid. What do you suppose the Holy Spirit asked me to do? Hello! You know what? Yeah, me too, all the time. But then why is it so complicated for us to do the will of God and even know what he's telling us to do? He's speaking to our hearts. I took this picture of Pamela. I showed churches, told a story, and because I didn't have money. You know, I'm part of that missionary group that says, silver and gold have I none. You know, Paul and Peter and all the apostles, we don't got no money. But what I got, I'll give to you. His overwhelming love, his enduring power in our lives, that I'll give. And folks gave, and David, the next one, we got to build this for them. Amen. 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 A dining room, and on the other side of that is a full kitchen. Why not? Why not? These might be the poorest kids in the world, but they at least should be able to eat with dignity, not out of a boy's bathroom. And so Pamela, this was a couple of years later, we finished it all. Pamela, we had a big celebration. It had the tables and plates and knives and forks and chairs, and she was just sitting there eating with her friends for the first time in dignity. And I don't know about you, but that's worth it all. That's worth it all. A couple months later, got some news that a bus with two families was coming down the mountain and crystallized the brakes and slammed into the side of the mountain, killing the both families in the bus, and one of them was Pamela. And I thought, at least she got to eat with her friends with dignity before she entered into eternity. And today, she's eating at the king's table. And it made me think about the priority about what we're doing. We can't wait. We can't wait years more. We can't wait 10 more years. We've got to do and be busy about the Father's business right now. Do his plan right now. Because there are people waiting in the wings that are going to be ushered into eternity one way or the other. Next. Then I went up 13,000 feet in the Andes, and I found this group. There's one woman, Ecuadorian woman. She's young. She wasn't married. She was using her own money, taking two buses to go from the valley where we were up to 13,000 feet, just because the love of God was driving her to feed this handful of children. Look at the sewerage is in front of that. That was the street. That's the main street they're standing on. She rented that little building. It had no water. She was just using what she could to feed kids. It doesn't matter what you've got, because he's got it all. He just wants to grab our hearts. He just wants to make sure our hearts are in tune with him to do what he says to do. And I love people with vision. And so we came alongside of her as a church, and I said, you know, what can we do? We prayed, and we found a piece of property, had a bigger house, and we used that house instead of this one. And then the Lord just said, keep on building. And David, this is what we built for them. Blessed be his name. Two towers, five floors. She's now helping 350 kids. Why not do the things of God? Why not trust him in faith? Was it my finances? No. Was it his finances? Yes. You might know maybe a church that has a shell and is looking to finish it. But I don't know. I'm just guessing. What's his plan? His plan is that we all are unified as one in his love and pray together and seek his will. And sometimes it's just pouring out to other people. And he just somehow does what he does best, comes in and finishes things. Man, you're in the right place. You're serving a big God. Whatever you personally need, he's here. He's alive. He's able to meet whatever personal things. Some of you might think, man, I'm not one more dollar. No, we don't want one more dollar. We want all of it. Because if you can just give him, I heard one time a pastor got up to the pulpit in the Sunday morning and said, I got good news and bad news. Well, lay on the good news first. We've got all the money that we need to finish building the building. Woo! Like you guys do. Woo! Well, then what could be the bad news? It's still in your pockets. God's got a plan. Give him your smallest, your least, your I can't do it anymore. Give it to him on the altar and watch what he can do through you. Watch what he can do, David. Then he said, go to the Galapagos Islands. You know, Galapagos is part of Ecuador, 600 miles off the coast. Some of you don't try to say Galapagos because it'll hurt your mouth trying to say it. Galapagos means tortoise. And the Lord opened up a door. They needed somebody to pray over the Galapagos Islands. I said, I can do that. So I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit thumps me up alongside the head, you know, the one that pushes you into love and drives you forward, the one that says the first two letters of his name is,
go.
You are listening. You're an impressive church. I can't keep you because pastor would like to keep you, but you can all come to Uruguay, that's for sure. Go! I'm praying. The Holy Spirit says, so why are you on your knees? I think he's from New York. He said, get up and
go
to the Galapagos Islands and tell them that I love them. Most folks don't know there's 25,000 people live on four inhabited islands in the Galapagos. They just know about the animals. It's a well-guarded secret, not from God. He knew about the 25,000 people. So I got up and I went. Next slide, I got this hotel room. I was praying and fasting in there and just You know, sometimes when you're praying and fasting that the Holy Spirit just kind of enters in that place and you kind of lose track of time. You don't even know where you are. Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to preach over here. Who said it? Who was it? Thanks. When's the next prayer meeting, Pastor? They'll be here. And then the Holy Spirit said, okay, now you can go out and walk around. So I was opened the door, and three hotel workers fell into the room because they were listening at the keyhole. I thought, welcome. I thought, what a nice crew. They come rushing right into your room. They said, we're so sorry. I said, no, not a problem. They said, was that you praying for our island like that? I said, yes. They said, can we come to know your God? I said, yes. One of the guys' name was Stalin Lenin. A little bit communistic. What did that baby do? Why would his folks do that to him? But God gave him a new name that morning. And they all three came to know Christ. And walking around the island and just praying, and God did some miracles. After that, we started talking to some folks, and then the Lord helped me build this complex on the island. It seats 500. We built the church now to 300 members, and it's growing. It's going, and now they're reaching the other three islands. But God did miracles. On this property, we bought the property, and we were having a team come over to do construction. And I know North Americans. I know when they get there, they want to have everything on site, ready to go. Let's go. So I was doing my best to get everything. But it's a little bit more complicated in other countries, especially on the Galapagos Islands. And if some of you didn't know, this is the roots of Darwinism, where Darwin came up with evolution on this island. So we're over there trying to get things ready, and we're digging the footers and going to lay a foundation down. And I was on the mainland. My disciple calls me up and says, hey, listen, you sitting down? I said, should I be? He said, yeah. The team was going to come like the next week from California, spend all that to get to the Galapagos Islands. And they said, he said, listen, there's no sand. I said, I'm from New York. You're on an island. Look around. There ought to be sand somewhere. He said, Pastor, it's not the right sand. We need construction sand to mix with the bags of cement and the water. And they have these huge grinders where they put volcanic rock and grind it up to make this construction sand. And the two grinders, the only two grinders on the island, are now broken. And they've been broken for 2 months. And nobody's on the island doing any kind of construction. And we're like 50th in the list to get sand if they ever make some. I said, okay, now I'm sitting. The team's coming a week after that. No construction sand. Without that, you're not doing anything. And we have a Spanish word for this. The Spanish word is stress. I said, let's pray. And keep on digging the footers. It's laying big holes to fill up with the cement. Keep digging that so that we'll be ready. He calls me up a couple days later and says, Pastor, I've got good news. Tell me, I really could use it. He said, we were digging the holes, and as we broke into this one area where we're going to lay the foundation, we broke into a sand mine. Woo! I tell you, I was a lot more excited than you are right now. And he said, every time we take out a shovelful, it keeps refilling. And we keep taking it out, it keeps refilling. And everybody on the island, when we started putting the footers down, everybody on the island came by and said, hey, who'd you pay off to get that sand? We said, the grinders are still not even working. God's done this. You're still not with me this morning. What, are you out to coffee or something? What's going on? What's the likelihood that on the property you bought, a week before you need it, there's a sand mine? That's the right sand that you need for construction. Are you with me? Let me know you're with me. And for all this construction, we laid the footers. And there was enough sand in that sand mine to do all that work. It was like God himself said, here on the Galapagos Islands, I'm going to lay the foundation. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let's go on. You can't handle too much. Let's go on. Here we are, 15 years. Contemplative church. Let's sit for a minute. See what that feels like? God is doing amazing things. On the Galapagos Islands, can I tell you one note more about the Galapagos Islands? Okay, now I have to stand over here because you lost your chance on amens over there. We were on the Galapagos Islands building the church. We built all that. We got it growing. And I'm thinking, I'm not somebody that likes to sit and maintain. I like to go out. So we're going to the next islands. I talked to my disciple. I said, I'm going to do a 40-day fast. And in that 40-day fast, right in the middle of the 40-day fast, I want to go prayer walking on all the islands to see what God wants to do. And he's joining me, 40-day fast. So I let him make all the arrangements because it's a lot of arrangements to go travel to the next island. You got to take small boats. You got to take boats. You got to do everything to get there and then walk around. So he makes all the arrangements. I get there. We have a prayer commissioning service. I'm in the middle of my 40-day fast. And I said, let's go. So we charge out to the next island. We're going to meet Captain Max. And Captain Max is responsible with his boat. He's going to take us to the furthest island out where there's only like 120 people on the island. But God loves them, right? So I'm jazzed. We get to the next island. My disciple and I are there. We're looking for Captain Max. He comes up. Oh, Captain Max, we're ready to go. He said, where's your boat? He said, there it is. I said, oh, wow, that's a great boat. He said, no, not that one. Then what one? That one. I said, well, it's not as big, but that's not bad. He said, no, it's not that one. And he brought a boat out that made me instantly want to whistle the theme song to Gilligan's Island. It just stuck. 3-hour cruise. We're going to go 2.5 hours on the open ocean in what I consider a dinghy. What do we say? Is it that way? Because y'all got to watch out. Some states I say dinghy and they go, whoa, you're not supposed to say that. What do we call it here? The ones that have just like it had a 75cc mercury engine on it. You know what I'm talking about? Can I say dinghy here? It was a dinghy! I love being in New York and you can understand what I'm saying. It was a dinghy with a 75cc mercury engine and we kind of got into it, my disciple and I, and there's no seats. It's just the ribbing of the dinghy. 2.5 hours, open ocean, are you with me? And we roar off with that 75cc. And I knew when that engine was out of the water, because the waves were 4-foot waves. And every time I heard, I knew that 75cc mercury engine was totally out of the water. And every time it came back down, I'm sitting on that ribbing. And I'm an old fat guy. And every time it went, it shocked right up my spinal cord, everything was hurting. I didn't know if my liver was my kidneys and my kidneys were my liver. And at the moment, it was important to know. And I was upset with Captain Max. I had so much more expectations of him. And I was a little bit, I let some time go by. He's back there with his little mercury engine. And my disciple, he looks over at me and says, I didn't tell you, but I get seasick. And every time that thing hit the front, the waves just splashed us. We were soaking. My glasses were salt-crusted, dripping wet. And I had to have a moment with the Lord. I said, Captain Max, I said, I'm an old guy, a grandfather. Is there any kind of seat? He said, why didn't you tell me you can use my mom's seat? I said, I would love to use your mom's seat. Where is it? And he pointed, and it was an Igloo cooler. And I sat down on that Igloo cooler, and it was, oh. and we roared off into the open ocean. And I said, the Holy Spirit, I said, he said to me, I told him, I said, Holy Spirit, I would rather this seat going to do your will than any comfortable seat in the world sitting and doing nothing. We got to that island and Captain Max, it was a good thing I didn't, you know, after that I kind of lightened up. Holy Spirit said, really, you want this seat? I said, yes. Talked to Captain Max and he said, hey, you're coming to my island? And he said, my family represents like 50 people of the 120 people on the island. And he said, we would be delighted if you could stay at our home when you get to the island. And I said, we would be delighted too, Captain Max. And we went, and Captain Max's home was a 5-star. Anywhere you looked through the roof, you could see at least 5 stars. And the birds would come in the hole and go to the rice pot, take the lid off the rice pot, get rice, put the lid back on and fly off. And I knew they've done that before. And I was glad I was fasting. And that night, I didn't know there's other people in the house. It was a good-sized house. I didn't know they had people hidden places. They said, if you want to take a shower, we have a shower. I said, I would love a shower. And I got into the shower, and the walls only came up this high on the shower, all the way around 4 ways. The thing was, you're staring at people in the kitchen. I was waving. And I don't know, have you showered like that before? It was my first experience, but I stayed under the anointing in the shower. And then all of a sudden, I heard somebody come into the bathroom and start preparing to come into the shower. And, you know, you kind of whistle higher, you know, try to get. But they didn't understand those social cues. I didn't whistle in Spanish. And it turns out that the man was blind. An old elderly man, blind, and he was coming into the shower for sure. And I was trying to sneak around the wall of the shower, kind of let him pass by, you know. And I must confess, I did not pray for his healing at that moment. And the next day, we had a chance to talk to Captain Max's family, and God started a new work out there. The next day was storming. We're going to go back on that same dinghy. And now it's storming and the ocean is mad at us. And the waves were like 5-foot waves to out in open ocean in a dinghy. And he's trying to get around the waves. He's not trying to go over them now. He's trying to get around the waves. So it was like 3.5 hours back. And halfway through, the Holy Spirit nudges me and says, really? Do you prefer this seat? And I said, yes, Holy Spirit. I prefer this seat, doing your will, rather than doing nothing. Church, we've got to be about the Father's business, driven by his love. Driven by his love. There's a world waiting to hear. There's a world right here waiting to hear. There's folks lined up to come to your church and they just don't know it yet. You've got to be about the Father's business. There's people lost in their own stuff. There's people have no clue. They think that God doesn't exist. They think that they have everything together and they're doing their own thing. And they don't know that there's an end coming soon. And that we need to do what we need to do now for the King of Kings. We need to let his love envelop us. We need to follow after him. I have more things to show, but I mean, it's amazing what God's done. But I think it would be good just to stop right here and ask you to stand. church. And sometimes it's dangerous to say church, because then people don't see themselves as individuals in that group. So when we say church, we're community, but we're also individually responsible to do something for God. What is it that He wants you to do? You individually need to be praying so that in a community, God can send you in a direction. Here I am. Send me. What is God doing? What's He going to do in your new building? What's He going to do in this area? I know, looking at you, see, I can't help but look at you and see an incredible force to be reckoned with, to do what the Father wants you to do, to share the gospel, to share love with people. If you could see what I could see in you, you'd be amazed. You'd be convinced that He has a plan for your individual life corporately in this church community to do great things here and around the world. Maybe sometimes you don't feel like that. Maybe sometimes you feel like, I've got so much going on, I'm not even thinking in that realm. For just a moment, we're just going to stop. We're going to close our eyes just for a moment. And maybe all eyes can be closed just to make everyone feel comfortable. Maybe you haven't began with the love of God yet. That's the beginning. I don't know everybody here. I don't know if you belong or not. But I sure do know you belong with Him. I sure do know that God has been seeking you out and wants to pour out His love on you. I sure do know that He wants you to give your life to Him. As a young man, I was so full of sin, I didn't even know the difference of what was right or wrong. But God, just like this morning, God came down and He said, I love you just for who you are. I have paid a high price that you could be free of your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter how dark it was. It does not matter. Because God is a big God, a huge God with a lot of love that He is here right now to forgive your sins. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking around. Maybe you've never heard that you could receive such a loving God in your heart and just give all your sinful life to Him and He'll give you all of His glory. If you've never heard that before and you know what I'm saying this morning, just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand. First time saying, thank you for that hand. First time saying, I need that. God sees that hand. Any other hands? Any other hands? Everybody together, so nobody is singled out right now. Just let's pray this together. Father, thank you so much for your love and your forgiveness. I'm a sinner. I need your love. I need to be transformed. I need to be born again. But I don't know how to do that. This morning I sense something in my heart. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Change my life. Make me like you. In your mighty name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's the beginning, right? Now, how about us? How about us? Some of us have made that decision long, long time ago, but what are you doing? Where are you? Where are you? What's going on? What if the Holy Spirit wanted to collect you up as an army this morning and point you in a direction as a team to do a mighty thing? This is the church. This is the kind of church you are. You're a church that doesn't mind going from building to building to building. Well, maybe. But you're a church that wants to do great things for God. So let's just raise our hands, all of us. Father, here we are. Holy Spirit, we sense your overwhelming love in our lives. And we ask you to fill us, capture our hearts, and send us where you want to send us. In your mighty name, amen. Pastor.
I do now. Thank you. Amen. We're going to pray. Mark, would you please take us to the Lord and ask for God's blessing upon Michael?
Lord, we are to go. We are to go and make disciples. Lord. And this man is a true living testimony of what you can do in our lives if we're willing. We thank you for this man, Lord. There have been times of trials and tribulations and fear, intimidations, all the things in the third world countries against the enemy will raise against us. This man and his wife, Lord, we just ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them, protection upon them, Lord, guidance upon them, Lord. Continue their mission, Lord. And may their words strengthen this congregation, Lord, and raise us up to be missionaries in our homes and in our communities and in this state. Father, thank you, Father.
Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Now, Michael, you shared with us where you have been. And where are you going now? To be, after you get your itineration done, where are you going to be going?
The Lord has redirected our whole steps and said, come into the AG. Because you love missionaries. And I've sensed that already. He said, head not to Ecuador anymore, but to go to Uruguay. And why Uruguay? God's forming a team right now that this is stupid. 52 years old to change everything. This is stupid if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit wants to form a team anywhere in the world to transform a nation, he can do what he wants to do because we're his servants and he's our king, right? So Uruguay, it's known as the graveyard of missions. And I said, somebody wrote me that and I said, oh, really? Why come you didn't tell me this before? I said, I just happen to know a savior that specializes in miracles and graveyards. You might have heard a little thing about like Easter. You ever hear that? And then it's the only nation in South America that has atheism built into its constitution. Well, I've got a lot of atheistic background from a dad that says he's atheistic, that hasn't spoken to me in 32 years because he's atheistic. So I got a little bit of experience in that as well. It's 98% literate, the country. And so 98% literate, they want you to say intelligent things. Well, the Lord allowed me to do a doctorate. Can you see what his wisdom and why he would just jerk me off someplace and go from Ecuador to there? Because he's putting together a team like Steve and Jill. Uruguay loves soccer. So why not?
Amen. Lord, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. We have worshiped you. We have honored your name. We have lifted our requests before you. We have heard the challenge of your word. We've laughed and enjoyed you and each other. We've known the joy of the Lord. Now, Lord, having experienced all this, we step out into our mission field. And we pray that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit to share the good news, what we're experiencing in Christ in our going to make disciples. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.